From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns concludes his first message in a series expounding one of the most blessed passages in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 53. The theme of this chapter is the humiliation and exaltation of Christ. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, He Freely Gives. The text is Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If this is not a promise in form, it is in fact. Indeed, it is more than one promise. It is a conglomerate of promises. It is a mass of rubies and emeralds and diamonds with a nugget of gold for their setting. It is a question which can never be answered so as to cause us any anxiety of heart. What can the Lord deny us after giving us Jesus? If we need all things in heaven and earth, He will grant them to us. For if there had been a limit anywhere, He would have kept back His own Son. What do I want today? I have only to ask for it. I may seek earnestly, but not as if I had to use pressure and extort an unwilling gift from the Lord's hand, for He will give freely. Of His own will He gave us His own Son. Certainly no one would have proposed such a gift to Him. No one would have ventured to ask for it. It would have been too presumptuous. He freely gave His only begotten. And, O my soul, canst thou not trust thy heavenly Father to give thee anything, to give thee everything? Thy poor prayer would have no force with omnipotence, if force were needed. But His love, like a spring, rises of itself and overflows for the supply of all thy needs.
His languid eyes on me as near
Every so often here on Let the Bible Speak, we've made mention of Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include, why did Christ have to become a man? Why does a good God allow suffering? Or, what is the unpardonable sin? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips are available on the ltbsradio.com website. But in addition, we're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
Thank you.
Earlier this week, Dr. Cairns commenced a series of studies in Isaiah chapter 53. The book of Isaiah has been called the Gospel of the Old Testament for its many prophetic passages that speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 53 portrays the clearest prophecy of Christ's crucifixion, as well as the reason for it to be found in the Old Testament. Dr. Cairns has begun these studies with verses 13, 14, and 15 of chapter 52, for that is where the passage really starts. The verses fall into three parts: Christ the servant, Christ the sufferer, and Christ the Savior. Verse 13 presents Christ as God's ultimate servant, the one who would fulfill the Father's will by taking unto himself a true humanity and dying for his people. In verse 14, we see Christ the sufferer, whose visage was marred more than any man. Verse 15 shows Christ the Savior, the one who endured the death of the cross and rose again triumphantly, demonstrating the ultimate success of the gospel. Now, with the final portion of a message called The Humiliation and Exaltation of Christ, here is Dr. Cairns.
There's more than man's aversion. We get a little deeper into the text in verse 14, and we find his visage, his appearance, his face was marred more than any man. The Hebrew here says his visage was marred from men. His form from the sons of men. The idea obviously is that his face was marred more than any other human face had ever been marred. His form was marred more than any other human form had ever been marred. But I think those commentators have something who say that the force of the word from here is that he was so marred that when men looked upon him, they did not recognize him even as anything human. He was so marred that he was no longer a man. When I thought of that, I thought of the words of the Savior himself given prophetically in the 22nd Psalm and the verse 6, where he cried to God his Father, "I am a worm, I am no man." The suffering Savior, the servant, the sufferer, but thank God, the Savior. Verse 15, there is a result to the suffering. Notice the "as." I'm not getting into syntax and grammar this morning, but for simplicity, those who have studied the original text will know that it's not as simple as I'm making it, but for simplicity, we can put his visage to the sons of men in parentheses. As many were shocked at thee, so here is the balancing statement. So he shall sprinkle many nations. Christ the Savior, notice the result of his service and his suffering. First, he will sprinkle many nations. The sprinkling is the sprinkling of the blood. It is the application of that blood to expiate the guilt of the sins of men. Verse 14 ends with him in the depth of suffering, cut off from man. But verse 15 says that blood that was shed, that pain that was endured, that suffering to whose depths he sank, was not in vain. For thank God, the blood shed is shed for the remission of sins. And the blood shed was not shed to lie in vain in the ground of Palestine, but that blood shed was sprinkled blood. Thank God he'll sprinkle many nations. I want you to see this. As, verse 14, many were shocked at such a marred and suffering Christ. Since many were shocked at you, as many were shocked at you, so he'll sprinkle many nations. I want you to see that the success of the Savior is in direct proportion to the sufferings of the Savior. He didn't suffer in vain. Who can tell the sufferings of Christ? Who can plumb the depths of the awful sufferings of the Son of God? Who can plumb the depths of humiliation for the Christ of God to become a man was in itself an infinite humiliation, immeasurable, incomprehensible. For that man to go all the way to the cross, the death of the cross, is surely beyond measure. But listen, his success is in proportion to his suffering. Thank God, as he once suffered, and as many rejected such a suffering Savior, in his sovereign grace, he will apply his blood to many nations. Let me finish with this. This brings great encouragement to me. It doesn't say many nations were astonished at thee. It just says many. There were many who rejected Christ, and there are many who reject Christ. But the nations, as a word is brought in verse 15, it's many nations shall be sprinkled. His acceptance will far outstrip his rejection. Oh, I realize that in this day and age, few there are that find the way of life. I realize that in this day and age, to be a follower of Jesus Christ is to be in the minority. But let us not judge the eternal purpose of God by this day and this age. This is but one leaf in the book. When you put all the mighty purpose of God together, and when you take all whom Christ has sprinkled, is sprinkling, and will yet sprinkle with his blood, and when you think of all the mighty millennial fullness of the gospel that is yet to come, I want to tell you the success of Jesus Christ will far outstrip his rejection, and heaven will overpopulate hell to a tremendous degree. I don't believe in a hell that's bursting at the seams and a heaven that has hardly people enough to fill it. The Bible doesn't preach it. It's a pure fantasy. I tell you, my friend, he is the Savior who plumbed the depths of humiliation, but who has gone to the heights of exaltation, and in everything he will have the preeminence. In everything. Even, I am assured in my own heart, even in the very numbers that he brings to heaven. See what it says. Kings shall shut their mouths at him. No more rejection. These are heathen kings. These are Gentile kings. These are people from a background where you wouldn't expect that they would have even heard the gospel. Things that they had never heard will now be shown to them. Things that they had never known before, they will now consider. Here we have the picture. When the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. Thank God, Christ the Savior is Christ the Sovereign. He is Christ the conqueror. He is Christ the overcomer. The gospel is the most successful thing in the history of the world.
Never forget that. Paul meant it. My, this is no vain rhetoric when Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He didn't mean just, I'm not ashamed of it. He meant that, of course, but it's a figure of speech. It's a way of getting over another message. And what is the message? He says, I am thoroughly proud of the gospel of Christ. That's what he's saying. There is a pride that we can have. I'm not proud of myself, and neither ought you to be. We have no need to be proud of our church, proud of our stand, proud of our this, proud of our that. But I want to tell you, it's time we got on our two legs and let the world know we are proud of Jesus Christ. And we're proud of his gospel. Yes, we are. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because it is the power of God. That's why it's successful. It's successful in individual lives. It's the only thing that's successful in individual lives. Not another thing in the world successful in men's lives. That's why psychological counseling, though I have no doubt very useful in many people's experience at various times, it's only a second best to the gospel. It can patch up, but it can't remake. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's successful in our lives. It's successful in our homes. It's successful in our problems. I want to tell you, there's not a problem you have today, but that if you apply the gospel to it, you'll get the best possible answer. It's successful. But more than that, it is ultimately successful. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not going to die out in failure. I was reading the words of one fool of an Episcopal bishop, an apostate of all apostates. By the way, they won't even find him guilty of heresy. I think if he was in an atheist club, he would even be a heretic. An apostate, if you'll ever find one. And he is now setting out to rescue the church from the Bible. You ever hear the like of it? Rescue the church from the Bible. Because he is so afraid that this literal Bible will destroy Christianity. He can think again. I want to tell you, it'll destroy him. It'll destroy his Episcopal apostate institution. It'll destroy all the work that he has set out to do, but bless God, this book and the Christ it presents and the gospel it preaches are destined and predestined to total eternal success. Christ, the servant. Christ, the sufferer. But thank God, Christ. Savior. I trust this morning that the Lord will take these inimitably wonderful verses of Scripture and write them upon our heart, and today enable us to go from this house to consider Christ in his humiliation, and thank God in his exaltation. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word. We pray that thou wilt stamp it upon our hearts. We need to see the Son of God, who became the servant, the sufferer, and thank God, the Savior. We thank thee for all here whom he has sprinkled with his blood. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt yet sprinkle many more. Bring souls to the feet of Jesus. O God, our Father,
give fruit now in all our lives for the preaching of Jesus Christ. Hear our prayer and part us with thy blessing. Keep us in thy fear and be our abiding portion. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.